Okay, welcome to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay, I'm your host, and I'm here in a room alone. We're having a good time. I'm pumped to be here. I just tried to fix this mic cord, and didn't fix. But I feel great. I just got back from Alabama. I just got back today. I'm doing this on a Wednesday night. Going to be coming out on a Thursday morning, hopefully. Hey, if you're watching this video on YouTube by any chance, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I got a lot of stuff that I do here. I put out stand-up clips. I got a full one-hour special on my YouTube. My classic jokes, my classic trailer park jokes. I really wish that my classic trailer park jokes were filmed in a better setting. I do have them on Netflix. I have a half hour on Netflix on the TV show The Stand-Ups. But that was filmed in 2021 in New York City with people social distanced. And, you know, the Netflix people doing their best to curate a crowd for basically three completely different types of comics. So, you know, it's good, but, you know, I also did a lot of drinking and driving jokes on there, and I think either they weren't into it, or they don't even know what I'm talking about, because they live in New York City where they don't have to drive. So, I got a lot going on this YouTube channel, so there's a lot of different things, so subscribe. You know, I see my YouTube channels that I watch. They tell you to click the bell for notifications, that way to let you know when I post new videos. I also post land updates. I got a new land update coming, and I'm excited about that. That's going to be a good one. And then we got some different things we're going to try. Hannah is now getting into some editing. Hannah has always been the best editor for me in a lot of ways, because she knows my comedy, knows what people think is funny about me. So she's very good at that sort of stuff, and she's learning some editing tricks. My social media team has been doing a very good job with stuff, and I'm excited. I like the way this is going. I like how this has been doing on YouTube. Very exciting. But I just went to Alabama for a few days. My nephew graduated high school. My nephew was homeschooled, and he works at Chick-fil-A. And he told me that all the people at Chick-fil-A were making fun of him about a homeschool graduation. They were like, he said they were saying stuff to me like, you walked in your living room, you know, stuff like that. I don't remember all the jokes. I wish I did. But it's pretty funny. But he did, you know, he was part of a homeschool program. So he did walk with a bunch of other people, but he didn't know a single one of them. So he said it was pretty weird for him. But we had a good hang. My sister had a bit of a party, a lot of her family there. Me and my sister, we have a different dad. So we're half sisters, but we were half brother sister, but we were raised together. And she's also 11 years older than me. So my sister really helped raise me as a kid. And it's very fun. But it also is fun, you know, to take my kids down there and be like, hey, this is your aunt's dad. Not your grandfather, but your aunt's dad. And, you know, and then he obviously is not married to my mom anymore, because he was married to my mom before my mom married my dad. So he's married to a lady who is also not related to any of us. And her dad was a guy named Gene Sims. I hope it's okay to say his name. He's passed away. But I remember Gene Sims. Maybe if I have some listeners from the Chambers County area, from Lafette, Pennon, maybe they know Gene Sims. But he was the can man. He had one arm. And he apparently cut his arm real bad on barbed wire, some rusty barbed wire, and he got gangrene. and they had to remove his arm. So he just got real old. He had one arm. He didn't have a lot of teeth. He could barely understand anything he said. But I just remember him when I was a kid. He'd just be walking up and down the side of the road, just picking up cans. He had a little stick with a nail on the end. He would just stab it down in the can and put it over in his bag. And that's what he did. And I used to see him up at Larry Edge's store there in Pennon. And we'd talk to him. Me and the other kids would talk to him. We couldn't really understand what he was saying. But, you know, we were kids and we had a lot of respect for old people, whether we could understand them or not. So we would always stand there and talk to him. When he laughed, we laughed. We didn't know what he said, but we assumed if he was laughing, he was telling a joke. So that's my, his daughter is married to my sister's dad. The family trees can get wild in my family. I don't know if I ever talked about this, but I got a brother-in-law and his dad, maybe I did talk about this and shouldn't repeat it. It's pretty gruesome, but I'm going to go ahead and say it though. It's wild. I don't know if I ever talked about it, but my brother-in-law, who's married to my other sister, they have the same, she has the same dad as my other sister. We got different moms. She's 9 years older than me. She had diabetes growing up. I wrote a lot of jokes about her on my new special that's coming out. I can't talk about it yet, but my new special has found a home. We have landed on a home. We've landed on a title. The special looks good. I filmed it in Chattanooga, and it's coming out. I don't even know if I could talk about the date, but hopefully it's coming out in the summer. Actually, I know when it's coming out, but I'm being purposely vague, but because I don't know what I can talk about. But I think my new special, I don't even know if I can say the name yet. I'll save it. But my new special that's coming out that I filmed in Chattanooga, I think is better than Working Man. And Working Man was a hit. Working Man, Time Life Magazine mentioned Working Man as one of the best specials on Netflix. That's pretty exciting. Considering that it's really interesting, my relationship with what you would call the industry. Because I've never lived in New York, I've never lived in LA, I've never lived in Chicago. I don't hang with those people. I mean, if not for Nate living here in Nashville, I don't know that I would really have any association with really any of the big time comics. Now, a lot of my friends are doing very well, and I am friends with a lot of big time comics around the country, but as far as hanging and being part of a crew, I don't think that would even be a thing if Nate weren't here. But the industry likes me, which is really nice because, you know, I just, I come on my podcast, I talk about the Bible, I'm, you know, talking about drinking and driving while telling people not to drink. I'm having arguments with other Christians through email, you know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. But the industry likes me. And, I get things. I've done JFL and The Tonight Show many times. And, you know, I don't know why, but I just am nice to people and respectful to people. And I'm funny. But Time Life voted Working Man one of the best specials on Netflix, which is pretty awesome. In 2019, I was voted top 10 comics to watch by Variety Magazine, and then COVID hit, so I didn't get to ride that out very much. But now I like this special better. I love Working Man. I think it's very funny, but there's a lot in this new special that I think is some of my best stuff. Now, that being said, a few months back, I did a show, and someone yelled out something about my hat. They go, "Oh, is your hair real?" or whatever. And so I took my hat off, and then I did my whole joke. You know, if you see me without this hat, you know, this hat changes me. You know, if I take this hat off, you're like, "Oh, man, that guy looks like he listens to rock music." Put this hat on, you're like, "Nah, he's got a rock collection." You know, that joke. I did the whole joke. And it crushed. And I'm like, that's my best joke. That's the best joke I've ever wrote. And I don't know that I'll ever top it. And my second best joke, I think, is my my joke about tornadoes in the ditch. That's what I think. That's personally what I think. Third best, he won't bite joke. He might lick you to death. And those are all on the 1 hour that I have sitting on YouTube. It's a hot special, but I'm going to tell you what. My new special that's coming out soon has got some hot bits on it. If you've seen me live this year, you know that that's got some hot bits on it. And I'm excited about it. I've been putting together some top five country music lists. These were a bit controversial for people. People thought that I should have some other kinds in here. I'm going to read you a couple. I did one, top five country songs by Mark Chestnut. Now, it's hard. Typically, what I like to do is top five country songs on a particular subject. And then you can pull from people, you know, all country musicians that have sang a song about that subject. When you get down to top five by somebody, it can get really tough because let's say they have 10 hot songs. Let's say they did a greatest hits and they put 10 songs on there and they were 10 really good songs. It would still be hard to narrow it down to a five without people getting upset with you. But this is what I did. I did two. Top five country songs by Mark Chestnut. Now, Brian Bates from the Nateland podcast, from Dry Bar, Brian Bates sent me a song called I Just Wanted You to Know by Mark Chestnut. And I had completely forgotten about that song. And so I started listening to it. And I was just jamming this song. So it led me back to listening to other Mark Chestnut songs. And I just was like, I just couldn't believe how many great Mark Chestnut songs were out there that I forgot about. He has so many good songs. So I put my top five and, I'm just going to start with number five. Normally, I do a lot of honorable mentions. He does have some good covers. Dreaming My Dreams With You, originally by Waylon Jennings, I think, but I don't think it's written by Waylon Jennings. Jamie Johnson does a really great cover of Dreaming My Dreams With You. Great song. He does a cover of Lost Highway by Hank Williams Sr. Great song. And Hank Jr. does a really good cover of Lost Highway, too. It's a great song, Lost Highway. You know what's another good Hank Williams Sr. song that people rarely talk about? It sounds a lot like Lost Highway, but it's Ramblin' Man. When the Lord made me, he made a ramblin' man. It's really good. It's not like the Allman Brothers' Ramblin' Man. You'll be happy to know I didn't even bring water up here. I just thought, man, I wish I had some water, but I didn't even bring water into the studio today. So there'll be no more drinking. Maybe some hard swallowing, maybe some dry mouth, but no drinking water for me. I should not have just come up here and decided to do this podcast. I just got home. I drove 5 hours home with two kids in the car. And then I was like, because usually I record this on Tuesday, send it over to my social media team. They put it together for the video. I still do all the audio work, which is just adding a song. I have little buttons right here that I could just play the song. I should get that set up. But yeah, I should not. I'm more unprepared than I normally am, but I feel good. I'm in a good mood. My face is probably pretty red because I'm fired up. I've been in the car. I got into an altercation. I know I'm on a different subject, but I got into a bit of an altercation with a guy in Birmingham in a car. He was driving a landscaping truck and he almost wrecked my whole family and then had the nerve to flip me off. And then so I was just kind of rolling down the window like, dude, what? I wasn't yelling. I wasn't flipping him off, but I was just kind of like, what are you doing, guy? I got kids in the car. And the guy's like mocking me, like laughing, mocking me. And then he starts videoing me. And then as we're pulling away, he rolls down the window and he goes, "This is my dad's company. My dad owns this company." So I took a picture of his tag and I emailed the company and I put his tag number in there. And I said, I don't want the guy fired, but he should know that he almost wrecked my whole family. And then he was, you know, he had a real mocking tone to him. And the guy responded to my email and he said, "Well, that guy, we are a family owned business and that guy is not in the family. And that's very embarrassing that he did that." But I only wrote the email because he said, "This is my dad's company." Like he was like challenging me like, "Oh, my dad owns this. You're not going to be able to do anything about this." And I just thought, if that were my son acting that way, or if my dad owned a company and I was acting that way, I would never want anyone to know my dad owned that company if I was working for him, because my dad would not play that. There's a lot of stuff I disagree with my dad on, but my dad don't play. I'll tell you that. He don't play. And I wouldn't play that either. If my son was working for me and he was flipping people off in the company truck and then yelling, "My dad owns this company," that would not go well for him. So that's all I wanted them to know. I just wanted the dad to know, hey, your son is insane out here. He almost wrecked my family and then flipped me off and then mocked me and then told me that that his dad owns the company. So they did respond to me fairly quickly. You know, for all I know, it could have been the guy himself receiving the emails, but he knew how to respond. His response wasn't that same cocky tone. Anyway, here we go. Mark Chestnut, top five country songs by Mark Chestnut. Number five, "Going Through the Big D." "I'm going through the Big D and don't mean Dallas." I think it's a great song. There's a lot of good songs. When you hear this top five, you're going to go, "What? That song wasn't on there?" I'm just telling you, to me, when it comes to re-listenability, these are the best. These are the best. Number four, "Almost Goodbye." Very dramatic song. Very powerful. Very good. Number three, "All My Old Flames Have New Names." It's such a good song. George Strait has one similar, "All My Exes Live in Texas." But "All My Old Flames Have New Names" is a really good one. Because it's basically about a guy, rolls back into town, pulls out his little black book, as he says. For my younger listeners, a little black book is what we used to have before we carried around a computer in our pocket that saved all the numbers. We would have a book full of phone numbers, and you could flip through it, find your friend's number, or some girl in there, and you'd call them up and go, "Hey, what are you up to?" You'd find a payphone or something and call them. All right, number two. This is the song that Brian Bates sent me. "I Just Wanted You to Know." "I Just Wanted You to Know." Great song. Really, really good. And then number one, "I'll Think of Something." I've talked about this song many times on this podcast. My neighbor, I just found out, my neighbor wrote the song. And it was first cut by Hank Williams Jr. But this song is great. And people go, they go, let's see what some of the comments are. They go, "Oh, Your Love is a Miracle." I also put that on. I added that. That was but this guy said, "I'm disappointed Too Cold at Home didn't make the cut." And me and Brian Bates had a very similar list. So I didn't want to put Too Cold at Home on there because Brian also had it on his list. Love that song, though. My friend Kyle Hester said that to me. I'm sorry, Kyle. Old Country, that's a good one. Really good. Bubba Shot the Jukebox is another one. I actually don't see it on here. I thought people had said it, but Bubba Shot the Jukebox is really great too, but didn't make the list. So then I made, if you're not into country, this has been a tough start for you. So then I made top five country songs by John Anderson. Now I went ahead and made a top eight because Unlike Mark Chestnut, who I forgot about, dug back into, fell back in love with his songs. John Anderson, I tapped into John Anderson in a way recently that I had never tapped into him before. And by recently, I mean the last 10 years. But in a way that I never listened to him growing up. When I was growing up, I mean, it was all the songs off one album. It was Seminole Wind, Straight Tequila Night, When It Comes to You. That was all. And then I got into John Anderson. And so I went ahead and made a top eight list. And I'm just going to read that off to you now. You can find this on my Twitter. I'm very close to 20,000 followers on my Twitter. X is what it's called now, but I don't know that anybody will ever call it that. But here we go. Number eight, top five country songs by John Anderson. Number eight, She Never Looked That Good When She Was Mine. Really great. Number seven, Take That Woman Away, another divorce song. That song's so fun. Number six, Seminole Wind. A lot of people had a hard time with Seminole Wind not being in the top five. And there's a debate. There's a debate that Seminole Wind should be number one. It was probably John Anderson's biggest hit. When I was a kid, that song played nonstop on CMT. I remember the video. It's a great song when you listen to it now. Knowing the damage that we've done to our country and our earth with just construction and getting rid of Everglades and just natural wonders of the country, how we've destroyed them, and you know, thinking about, I know there's a lot of stuff about Native Americans, some people, support that they were peaceful people. Other people don't support. I'm sure it was a little bit of both. I'm sure there were very peaceful tribes, and I'm sure there were very violent tribes. But the fact that that kind of world once existed in this country and now doesn't exist anymore is sad. It is sad. Now, it is, it's the way of the world. Things move along in a way, and things make me sad all the time. Things that are changing make me sad all the time. But considering that, where I grew up, Chambers County, Lee County, Alabama, was, as far as I know, one of the last areas of the Creek Indians. In fact, my dad bought some land that he lost in a divorce, but he bought some land when I was a kid, and he plowed the field, and we found a bunch of arrowheads that people said were Creek Indian arrowheads, and this field was right next to a very large creek. Not quite a river, not a stream. All right, so here we go. It's a great song. So I'm going with my top five. I like to try to mix my top fives up in a way that where hopefully there's some songs in there that you haven't heard before. It would be very easy with a lot of these guys to just pull up the greatest hits and go, all right, what are the best five? That's not what I like to do. I like to try to bring you some songs that, have something to have something that you might not heard. Number five, Red Georgia Clay. Great song. I didn't hear it until recently. Love it. Great song. Number four, Look Away, is a great song. It's a great song about the South, but more, this song probably came out in the 90s, and it feels like he's talking about the South 10 or 20 years ago, where it's just like, things used to be more simple, and the small towns were small towns. And he's driving around, he's talking about different people driving around to places and things not being the way they used to be, and it making him a little sad. He's talking about going down to Florida. He says, they took the north and moved it south. He said, shut my redneck mouth. It's just like, it's like going back to your old hometown, for instance. I just went back to my hometown, and things that you used to like growing up are now gone. It's like when I drive by and there's no longer Papa Joe's barbecue, that makes me sad because I'm like, that was a hot spot. I don't eat pork anymore. I don't even know what I would eat at Papa Joe's, but I liked seeing it there. The Jim Bob's that I worked at is gone. That makes me sad. you know, you see these things, all various landmarks, and you go, ah, man, I remember when that was there. That's a bummer. Oh, a place where I played baseball a little bit, small wood baseball field. I noticed that it is now gone and it's total apartment complexes. Now, that didn't really make me sad because I'm not hanging out at Smallwood Baseball Park a lot, but it is, you know, interesting to just see that gone. And the mills that used to be down in that area are gone, especially on the side of town that I grew up in where there were all these different mills. My mom worked at a plant called Ampex, later called Quantigy, and they made VHS tapes. And that's completely bulldozed to the ground. Obviously, we're not even making VHS tapes anymore. Somewhere they must be making a few. But it's completely gone. We had another place called DP. It was Diversified Products, which they made weights. They were making weights, which were kind of concrete weights with a plastic coating around them. That seemed to be the weights everybody had when I was a kid, especially for their home gyms. That's gone. So, you know, you go take a drive back hoping to see your old drinking spots, and you get there and it's not there anymore. It's sad. The next one. Look away. One time, though, I got a new car. I had been driving a 1982 Buick LeSabre around, and I got a new car. I got a 2008 Dodge Avenger. It was black. I bought it from a rental car company, which is probably a mistake, but it was the only place that would give me a loan. And I was driving this car around the apartment complex. I went and picked up my buddy, and we got a couple of beers, and we were just driving around the neighborhood in that car listening to this song over and over again. I had just found the song, and I just wanted to drive my car, but I also wanted to drink, and I didn't want to get a DUI, so I drove around the neighborhood. Okay, number three is a song called When It Comes to You by John Anderson. Really great. And then number two of this list is, I think, written by Billy Joe Shaver. And I like Billy Joe Shaver's version a lot, maybe equally as much as I like this one. But I think it's worth mentioning here, and it's called I'm Just an Old Chunk of Coal. I'm just an old chunk of coal. It's so great. But I'm going to be a diamond someday. I better be careful. I'm putting this on YouTube now. It may get flagged for copyright. And then number one song by John Anderson is Countrified. One of my favorites. Because Countrified is one of my favorites in general, not just John Anderson. But he's just basically talking about how much he loves the country. But he's like, you know what? But I also like the city. And that's how I am, right? I love the country. I mean, I wish that I could go back and have more time just to spend at my dad's house. My dad has a beautiful place. He has a lot of land and a decent amount of land to a rancher in Montana, probably not a lot of land, but to me, a lot of land, a little over 100 acres, and now I have bought some land next to him, so we've expanded a little bit, but, you know, it's just a lot of fun out there. My dad's got cows and horses and chickens, and he used to have some pigs, and he's got a bunch of dogs and cats, and we'd rode around a little bit. He's got a Polaris side-by-side, you know, and we rode around out there, and swam in the pool. The kids loved it. We had a great time. But we just had a day, really. I'd love to spend more time. But the problem with only being able to spend a day or so is that you never get out of hang mode. Like, I'd like to be there long enough to get out of hang mode and just be able to go out and do some of my own things. But you never really do. But it was a great trip. Those were my top five country songs list. I loved it. While I was in Opelika and Lafayette and Goodwater, that's where my sister lives, I don't know how much I did. I got coffee every day at a place called Market Street Coffee. They sell art supplies in there, but they're also a coffee place. It's the only coffee place that opened at 7 a.m., and our son was waking up every day at 6 a.m. So we'd get up with him and then wait for them to open, and then we'd go get coffee. Great spot, good coffee. I recommend it. And then I went to Zazu, which is a food place there. I took my dad there. My stepmom is retired now. My stepmom has worked in the school system. She's worked in the lunchroom of the Chambers County school system for, I think, 20 years now, and she could retire at 20 years. I bet she used to work at a school called Five Points, and then they closed that school. Just more just the collapsing of society, just closing schools, combining the kids, and she had to move to another school in Hughley. Hughley's where my mom went to elementary school. But Hughley, it's an hour different from where my dad lives. So my stepmom had to be there early, but she was waking up at like 3:30 because it was a time change and then a bit of a drive. So I bet if they had not closed Five Points, I don't think she would have even retired. I think she would have kept working. I think she really liked that school. And then the other, I don't think she minded it, but it was just bit of a stress on her to drive and do all that. So now she's officially retired. So I took her to eat. I wanted to take her somewhere nice, but my dad and my stepmom, they're not into that. They're not into a nice place. They don't want my dad. Well, I don't want to say, but they're not into it. They don't pretend to be fancy. They don't pretend to be somebody they're not. And they're not into it. You take them to a nice place, likely they're going to complain about it. They're going to complain about the food and then tell me I'm wasting my money. So we took them to a nice restaurant. It was great. Oh, we also went to the Abanda Cafe, the Abanda Cafe is a spot there in Abanda, Alabama. My dad used to go down there. This is one of these places where all the old men go. And they just sit down in there and they drink, unlimited amounts of coffee and just talk every day. It's that's what I want to be doing. I love it. I think it's great. I wish all my friends just went to a coffee shop every day and we just talked to each other. That'd be a blast. I'm all about it. My dad does that at another place now in Lafayette. He goes to Jack's fast food place. And they just go down there and sit and talk. And he's got another group of people that he goes and talks with. All that group is old. My dad told me that when they first started meeting up, there was 18 of them. And people keep dying, and they're down to 3. And I was like, geez, that is sad. That is very sad. I mean, can you imagine? Start off with 18 people, and then people just keep dying, and you get down to 3? That's wild. Kind of want to switch up places you're eating at, I think. But it's fun. I didn't run into anyone I know, but I was in downtown Opelika, and they had a farmer's market kind of rolling in on a Tuesday night, and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. The fountain was going. Looks like there's a new mayor coming in, which I'm bummed about because the current mayor gave me a key to the city. But I saw a lot of paraphernalia for the next mayor of Opelika. And there's two people. There's not a lot of information about them. It's just like, vote for this guy. It doesn't tell you why to vote for who. So that's going on. So I need somebody to cue me into what's going on with that election so I can get behind it and push the good mayor so we can keep Opelika, on the right track. Because I do think Opelika is on a good track. I don't live there day to day, but I do think it's on a good track. I mean, they got a lot of stuff going on that I think is good. I went to the Winn-Dixie down there. That's the grocery store, and they had kombucha. And I was like, all right, that's what I'm talking about. I've been drinking kombucha. I think it helps with my digestion, but I don't know. Whenever I go back to the area, though, my stomach does not do particularly well because there is nothing healthy to eat. Not that I ever find. There's nothing healthy to eat. Even when you go to a place and you go, ooh, this is a healthy item on the menu, it comes and it never looks good. Now, you could go to my buddy's restaurant, Cafe 123. They've just hit their 20th anniversary, it seems. And that they have very good food, but I don't think any of it's healthy. It's just delicious. But it was a good trip. I'm excited to be back. I've missed a few Nate lands, as you can see, but just for various reasons. I mean, like the one I missed a couple of days, a couple of weeks ago, I missed because they filmed on a Tuesday. We normally film on a Monday. It's just hard for me to be breaking up the days like that. And then this past one I missed because I was in Alabama. But I think we got a special Nate Land being filmed next week. So I will be around for that one. I'm not quitting Nate Land. I think there's a lot of comments of people that wish I would quit. But too bad for them. And somebody said in one of my comments, they said, what did they say? The latest podcast, they said I seem depressed. And yeah, I may seem depressed sometimes. I don't know. I don't feel depressed, but yeah, I get wore out. I'm out here. I'm flying all over the country. It's like the week I filmed that one, I was very tired. I flew all the way to California, and then I drove every day. I flew to California and then drove 2 hours to Modesto, then drove 3 hours to Bakersfield, then drove 4 hours back to San Jose, then flew back across the country the next day. Yeah, probably am a little depressed, a little jet lagged, a little depressed. And I also get a little depressed about, not depressed, that's the wrong word, but I'm just using it because they've used it. But yeah, I get a little depressed about my stomach sometimes because, you know, I'll be doing a certain thing and everything feels good and I feel like I'm on the right track. And I'm like, all right, this is what I'm talking about. And then the next thing you know, it seems like my digestion comes to a screeching halt and I'm back to burping like a maniac out here. So I do get a little down about that sometimes. I'm also, today will be the first day, but I'm going to try to take a little cigar break. I've been going pretty cigar heavy and I've really enjoyed it, but I do think I need a little break. I need to give my body a little detox. I'm going to try to start utilizing the sauna again, and I'm going to give myself a little break. I've already not been doing weed too much lately. I got a couple of things that I like for sleep, but I've not really been doing it lately. And, so, you know, I'm going to give myself a little break, do a little detox, see how I feel. Try to balance it all out. But yeah, I feel good. I'm not depressed. I do get on here and I just complain and complain. I know that. But that's because I don't have a co-host here to balance it out. It's tough to just be real silly in here by myself. I know that I'm talking to people, but you're not in the room with me. You know, we're together in spirit, as they say, even though that's probably got some kind of evil connotation to it. I got some emails from people or comments about me saying that I've always been Christian. And they were like, well, you've not always been Christian. You weren't born Christian. You had to decide. And I guess my overall point is I've always believed in God. I've always, you know, as long as I can remember, I never remember a time when I didn't, when I even questioned it. I believe in God. Nothing will change it. I've had a guy in the comments trying to say he didn't want to talk me out of my faith, but had I ever looked into some of the other texts and read about King James and this and that, and it's like, I don't care about that stuff. King James, for all I know, was a terrible person. But that doesn't mean God could not use him to his purpose to translate the Bible. So I don't get wrapped up in who King James is. I mean, people will often cite things in the Bible that say, well, this has been used to control people. Personally, I don't find anything in the Bible that you could use to, you know, control someone, to make someone want to serve the government more. Unless you're lying to people, you know, I mean, there is that. You know, they say that during the Dark Ages, what was happening was that no one could read and the church was subjugating people by telling them that this is what the Bible said. And they had no way to, no way to prove them wrong. And I've also heard that, you know, when, you know, and who knows if any history is real, but when, you know, America was first being formed, they wanted to make sure that everyone could read. They really made an effort to make sure people could read because they wanted people to be able to read their Bibles. I personally think the Bible sets you free. I think there are those moments where they go, you know, they ask Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes? Should we be paying taxes? And Jesus said, well, who's on the coin? And they say, Caesar. And he says, render unto Caesar what Caesar's. And he's, and in my opinion, that's Jesus basically being like, what are you going to do? That's the king's money. And the king's telling you to give it back to him. What are you going to do? And that's kind of where I feel like we're at today. It's like, yeah, of course, we're being robbed everywhere we turn when we make money and we pay tax on that money. And then we spend money and we pay taxes on again. And then if you buy a car, a house, or property, you pay a yearly tax on that called property tax. So you can be triple taxed and quadruple taxed. I mean, and it's like, and if you don't pay your taxes on your home, they will take it. And is there really ownership if it can be taken from you? So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem like a biblical principle. And I guess somebody could try to use the Bible to justify that. But I don't believe that's biblical. And there's another verse in there, I forget what it is, where people talk about, you know, basically having loyalty to the king. And it's just that one verse, as far as I know. But to me, I think that is like, hey, don't get yourself in trouble. Just do what your king tells you to do, you know. And king can be, you know, anything really. But I, other than that, I don't find anything in the Bible that, you know, someone could use to control you. I think it is setting you free, which is why I do enjoy, you know, the commandments. And because I often think that the commandments are not, they're not, you're not doing things to earn heaven. You're usually abstaining from things. That's what the commandments are. It's usually, it's like where I talk about not eating pork. I'm not saying that you have to do something. I'm saying not doing something. You're choosing to not eat pork, you know? So that's where I'm at with that. And so a lot of people have been upset with me about, not upset, but question me about always being a Christian. And it's like, of course, at some point I had to make the choice to be a Christian. You're not born a Christian. But I am saying I grew up that way. And then things have changed for me. I've made different decisions to do things a different way. As I read my Bible, I said, you know, and to me, it's a personal journey, right? We're all on a personal journey where we're trying to make ourselves better. Now, you can share it with people. I love to share it with people. But, you know, it's not to tell people what to do. I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do. I'm just sharing my journey. And I think it's all a personal journey and that, you know, we use it as a guide for our lives. And then we work on ourselves. And I think fasting and meditation, I think, are all biblical principles. But the Bible says to meditate on God's word. And then I feel like, now I'm no scholar of Buddhism, but I feel like Buddhism is meditating on nothing. You're trying to clear your mind. And I think the Bible is saying, don't clear your mind, fill your mind with God. And I think that's a better way. There is some verse where it talks about, you know, if you empty, you know, you clear the demons out of your mind, you empty your mind, the demons come in and they find it neat and clean and they come back and invite seven more demons. You would have to look that up to get that whole thing. I didn't do that kind of research, but I have read that before. And I think people kind of interpret that as, yeah, you don't empty your mind, you fill it with God. And I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's fun. I think that's good. And then I also got some very uplifting emails I'm not trying to give myself any credit, but I'm just trying to say that, you know, through listening to the podcast and getting some encouragement from someone else, they began to read their Bibles, and it's changed their lives in a positive way. And I think that's great. That's why I always encourage reading the Bible as opposed to going to church. I'm not against going to church. This is what's going to happen when you go to church. You're going to go to church, you're going to meet people, and you're going to meet a preacher. And who knows? The people of that church could be very nice to you. I know some of the best people in the world I know are church-going people. And they go to great churches, and the preachers are wonderful. But there are also those out there that are not so wonderful. You go, and no one talks to you. I went to a church one time, and it was the kind, I was invited by some friends, and then, well, some coworkers, and then they were like not able to go that day. So I ended up there by myself, which I don't mind. It doesn't make any difference to me. But when they would ask, are there any new guest in the church? And then you would raise your hands, and then they would come over to you with a microphone for you to introduce yourself. Now, for most people, that would be terrifying. For me, I was all about it. But because I was by myself, the guy kind of spoke for me. And I'm like, well, this would have been my time to shine. But there was a few of us. There was a handful of us, about five of us. And I don't know. I would say the church had at least 200 people, probably more. But I would say there was at least 200 people in there. And that guy, after he introduced us all, he said, you know, welcome these guys to the church, give them a big round of applause, whatever. Everybody clapped. They were like, oh, this is beautiful. And then they go, after church, we're going to have these people over in a room. We're going to give them some snacks, and we'd love for people from the church to come over and say hey and welcome them to the church. And so we did that. I didn't want to do it. I was just there because my friends invited me. I was not trying to join the church. But I did it. I went over into the room, and we were there for, I would say, about 10 or 15 minutes max, maybe even less time, because about four or five people came to say hey. Out of that whole 200 to 300 people that were in that church, about four or five people came to say hey. And not that I needed it, but what if I did need it that day? What if I was like, I'm looking for a family? I would have not found it in that church. And then when I got out to the parking lot, when I pulled up, I couldn't even find a spot to park. And I'm telling you, 10 or 15 minutes I was in that room. By the time I got to that parking lot, it was completely empty. Everybody peeled out of there like they had to get out of there to save their lives. And I'm not saying those people were bad. But I'm just saying, if you're a person that feel like you're in need of a spiritual connection here, and you go to a church and that's your experience, it may push you away. And some of these churches have it really down. They have it really down. They have a whole corporate environment thing going on where they got it dialed in, man. They're ready for you. They got all the pamphlets printed. Everything is great. They're running it like a business. So they do make you feel welcome. They have people. It's their job to make you feel welcome. And that's fine. I prefer that to a place where they don't make you feel welcome. But at the same time, it's, you know, it can be a little phony. So I'm not discouraging it. I know a lot of people will even hate that I even brought that up. But I just think that that's been my experience. I've been to lots and lots and lots and lots of churches. Some I liked, some I didn't care for. But you know, you don't need it. It's good to have community. I support it. People that go, I support it. You don't need it though. You need just a spiritual connection with God through Jesus. That's it. And that's easy. It's easy. All you got to do, start talking, start talking to Jesus and it will come and the connection will come. It's amazing. Yeah, I really got into that. I didn't even mean to get into that. But I got, last night, I was out having a cigar, looking at my phone, reading emails, responding to some people, and I got some very good emails, some long testimonies from people. And it really inspired me, you know, because, you know, Jesus says, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? It's like, you know, there's so many things that you could strive for. I mean, so many things are going very well for me in career-wise and family-wise, you know, and I want that stuff to continue because it's, You know, it's, you know, I don't know. Who doesn't want things to go well? But I, you know, I want to, when I leave this earth, know that I had some sort of impact, know that I did what I was put here to do. And I think that is what we're put here to do, put here to help people and be nice to people and show them love. And that's what I try to do. I'm not always successful, you know. That guy that flipped me off today in the car, I've been that guy before. I might have been that guy today if my family wasn't in the car with me. I'm doing all kinds of things. People sometimes try to call me out on my behaviors and my, there's, you know, there's a lady that commented on my feed recently that said she's worried about me as a Christian. And I'm like, you know, take it easy. You know, you can worry about me and I appreciate it. Pray for me. I appreciate the worry, you know, but there's no need to say it, you know. I mean, you know, we're all out here with our own struggles, and I could really get deep and in depth and share some serious stuff, but I like to keep it light. This is supposed to be a comedy podcast. I think of it more as a conversation with a bit of laughs. That's what I think. But I mean, listen, I got to tell you, I do the kind of podcast that I want to listen to. I like a podcast where someone's just talking. I like to turn on the podcast and just listen to somebody talk. And I want the audio to be clear. I don't want to, you know, I don't want a lot of rambling. Now, what I mean, now I know I ramble, but what I mean is if you're going to ramble, make the audio clear. I listen to some podcasts. There's some people that I like. There's people that I follow on the internet and I like their content. And then I'll find out they have a podcast and I go listen and it sounds like they're sitting in a tin can and they're way far away from it. Or some people can't tell a story. Some people can't do the thing that they set out to do. I like a good conversation, a one-sided conversation where the audio is good and there are no ads. I may be providing the only ad-free podcast out there. And we're doing pretty good numbers. You know, I didn't know what I would do. I didn't know what kind of numbers I would get when I started posting this on YouTube, but I'm happy with the numbers. Not that I'm a numbers guy. I've said this already, but when it's on YouTube, you want it to look good. You want it to go. One guy tried to criticize me already about it. I go, give it a break, buddy. He said I shouldn't be leading the Nate Land podcast. And it's like, okay. I didn't join the Nate Land podcast to lead the podcast. I joined it to just be the fourth member of the podcast. And then there's changes all the time happening. But this podcast, I'm committed to being ad-free. If you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube and you're like, there's ads here. Well, that's YouTube ads. You need to upgrade to YouTube Premium. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or something like that and there's an ad, that ad ain't coming from me. I may tell you about some cool stuff. I love macro bars. If you're looking for a bar without a lot of junk in it, macro bar's good. That's not a paid ad. That's a good bar. I've been eating those. And maybe you're like, hey, buddy, your digestion sucks. Maybe don't give recommendations on food. And that's fair. That's a fair, fair judgment of me. Like, who am I to make any judgments? I'll tell you what, sometimes when I'm burping real bad, I drink a Coke, and it helps me. Lately, I've been drinking a little kombucha. I used to make homemade kombucha. I don't know if you've ever done that before. My sister still does it. And when I was at their house, my stomach was really bothering me, and I was burping a lot. And they gave me a little, basically a shot of homemade kombucha, and it felt like I was fixed. And I've been drinking, you know, bottled kombucha from the store, which I do like. If you've ever made homemade kombucha, you know, I don't have the exact thing, but you take tea bags, just some Lipton tea bags. You may be able to do some different types of tea, but just black tea. And then, you brew the tea and then you pour it into a container with several, scoops of brown sugar and you really mix that up good. And then you'll have what they call a SCOBY. It looks like a mushroom. It looks like a round, slimy mushroom. And when you have a SCOBY, it'll come with a little bit of existing kombucha. And I think that's called like the mother or something like that. So then you pour the tea and the brown sugar in a container, and you put the SCOBY over top, and then you pour the existing kombucha in there, and then you cover it with like a towel so that it can breathe, but nothing can fall in there. And then you put it in a dark place for 2 weeks. And what happens during that time is that the SCOBY, the mushroom, grows another SCOBY over top of it. And then you have, and then all of that inside is now kombucha. And so then you pour it into a container for you to drink, and then you restart the cycle. You can throw away the old SCOBY, or I think you can use both of them. You can put them both back in there, or you can start two batches if you want. And you just keep doing that, and then you have this homemade kombucha. And I used to do homemade kombucha a lot. Back when I was drinking, I was doing it. And the last time I tried to make it, it was a failure, but that was years ago. I don't know what I did wrong. But I really got out of kombucha and really kind of rejected it. But I feel like it's having a resurgence in my life. I'm also drinking, I do black seed oil. Feel like that's helpful to the stomach. Oil of oregano. I grow a lot of oregano. I have a lot of oregano. I cooked a hamburger just now, and I fried a little oregano in the pan, put it on the burger with some jalapenos that I grew and some thyme that I grew. The oregano and the jalapeno I grew from seed. I never can get the thyme. I can get thyme started from seed, but I can never make it last to a full-on big plant. I forgot to talk about this. My dad, you know, I always talk about my dad bulldozing his dad's apple orchard, which disappoints me every time. But he had started another orchard, and I always talk about how weak it looks. It doesn't look like it's doing good. So I went walking through it, and I found my dad has three giant blueberry bushes. And me and my wife and kids, we all stood out there and ate our fill of fresh blueberries right off the tree, and there were still many blueberries to come. It was just loaded with blueberries. I got home today, I picked a bunch of blackberries off the vine or whatever. Oh, I also picked some wild blackberries in my dad's field this weekend. I mean, that stuff is where it's at. I mean, it is just fresh fruit like that right off the vine. I mean, I picked that jalapeno, cut it up, fried it in the pan a little bit, put it on the burger. It was great. Use sourdough bread as the bun. Toasted with a little butter. Delicious. I love that stuff. And you know, it just feels good. Feels good to do that sort of thing, eat that sort of stuff. And that's what I'm all about. We are looking to move. I have some house updates as things develop. I'm not going to talk about it too much now. My kids are losing it. But I do have, I don't know if you can hear them. But what we've been looking for is a house with enough land or enough space in the house so that I can create myself some sort of office. I want to build a bigger podcast studio to where I have a little depth. And then I can upgrade this, and then I can have guests. Because if I have a guest right now, we're in a tiny room. My family, you can hear my kids screaming through the doorway. My wife's tired. It's unfortunate that I had to just come home and right away and do the podcast. But I have been very consistent, and I want to keep it going. And what happens is if I miss a day, I get used to missing a day, and then I can easily slip back into that. So I don't even know what I'm talking about sometimes, but I just want to encourage people in many ways, in your health, in your spirituality, you know, with addictions. Nicotine's an addiction for me. I'm hoping to report back on next week's podcast and report that I have not had a cigar that entire time. That's what I hope the report is. I normally am able to do that, but I've slipped pretty heavy into the into the depths of nicotine. But this is why I want to get a bigger podcast studio. I mean, I think you could probably hear my son crying right out the door there. So I want to have my own office to where I can conduct my business away from the house without these sort of distractions, because it is hard to do a podcast while that's going on. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. I do have a land update coming, so that'll be very exciting. You get to see a bit more of what we got going on out there. And then from that video, what we hope to accomplish is me and Hannah can just go out there, film some things, and then Hannah can do some editing, because she really gets into it. And I think I put out the video today. Let's see if it came out or not. Let's see. Well, I'm supposedly have the best Wi-Fi you can get, AT&T fiber. Yeah, the video's out now. As this podcast comes out, it will have come out yesterday. But yeah, really good. Editing job by Hannah. At least I think so. I think it's very exciting. So I don't have any shows. I may pop in, do new material Monday down at Zany's. My next Zany show is July 24th. I'm trying to take the month of June off. I'm really trying to take it off and relax, come off the road a little bit, spend time with my family, enjoy my garden. But people are not wanting me to have that time off. So hopefully I'll get it. Hopefully I'll get to relax and renew my mind and my spirit. And then that lady or guy, I don't know who it was, who said I seem depressed, hopefully they will have a change of heart and they will say, you know what? You don't seem depressed. You just seem angry. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you guys. Like and subscribe to this channel or whatever. I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to a podcast every week where I don't even know what I'm talking about. I enjoy getting on here. I enjoy talking, but I don't even know what I'm talking about. But I hope you found some encouragement in it. I hope you laughed one or two times. And also, last thing. I did a podcast with Tracy Lawrence, and I talked about that. But that's now out on YouTube. So I don't know how good it is. I don't like to get into vanity too much, but I've been feeling, because of all the burping that goes on with me, my stomach just feels bloated. And it feels like every picture I'm in, everything, my stomach looks bloated now. So I'm okay. It's going to work itself out. But I'm going to go check on my kids. We're having a good time. Thank you.